now have our Bible reading for this morning, and Pam will read for us. Thank you.
If any of you are using the Church Bible, it's on page 1183. It's Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by human hands, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Pam. You know, whenever anyone puts their trust in the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, everything changes. Everything changes. You become what the Bible calls a new creation. The old has gone. Everything is new. And in many ways, that summarizes the verses that Pam has just read for us. Everything changes when we put our trust in Jesus and repent of our sin and we come to know God. And the first of those changes we see in verses 11 and 12. So I'm just going to reread those two verses. It says, in him, that is in Jesus, you also were circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. The moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were circumcised. But, as I said, no one gets into heaven unless they are circumcised. So what are we told about circumcision? Well, we're told it's not done by human hands. Secondly, it involves putting off our whole self that is ruled by the flesh or our sinful nature. And it is Christ who circumcises us. Where does circumcision come from? Well, we also need to go back into the Old Testament, don't we? Back into Genesis, first book of the Bible. And in chapter 12, God makes a promise, or a number of promises really, to Abraham, that he would be the father of a great nation and all peoples on earth would be blessed through him. Of course, he's an old man. Well, is he an old man? 75. He's getting on. And then in chapter 17, God confirms this promise. And he does it by way of circumcision. Every male, 8 days old and on, are to be circumcised. And for those who don't know, circumcision was the removal of the foreskin of the male penis. It is basically the removal of flesh. But spiritually, it is much, much more than that. It's pointing to a greater circumcision, a greater removal, if you like, that is required of every human being if we want to get into heaven. So you might be thinking, well, how is that going to happen? Let's try and just follow this through. So Deuteronomy 10:16 says this, circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. But I thought it was removal of the foreskin. Yes, but it's pointing to something else. Our whole heart needs to be circumcised. When the Bible talks about our heart, what is our heart? Our heart is who we are. You know, our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, our choices. All that we are, that is our heart. And that is what has to be circumcised. God is saying the flesh of our heart needs to be removed, meaning the sin of our heart needs to be removed. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and all your soul and live. Jeremiah 4, verse 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your hearts, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. By the way, if you are wondering what about the women here, in that culture, when a man was circumcised, it went for the whole family, if you like. It went for, kind of included or covered the whole family. But now God is saying it's not the male organ that needs to be circumcised. It is our hearts that need to be circumcised. So how? How does that happen? Well, you know, God commands us to do something, circumcise your hearts, but how can we do something that we cannot do? And yet God commands. Well, I guess we go to the God who commands it and trust that he will do it. And God does it through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying in Colossians. In other words, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you were circumcised, and you were given a new heart. You were given a new heart. Of course, not a physical heart, but our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts, our desires, our choices are all redirected towards God in a way that they were not before. Let me illustrate it for you. This is our heart before we come to know Jesus. If you're not sure about that, listen to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And yet, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are no longer the person we were. We are a new creation. God gives us a new heart. So, and how does he do it? He does it by nailing it to the cross. So, nailed to the cross. Let's move on. Secondly, and I think this comes out clearly in our passage, that we were forgiven. Verses 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, that is, before you put your trust in Jesus, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Well, how did he do that? By cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside. So where did he put it? Nailing it to the cross. So we are described as people who are dead in our sin and in our transgressions. And just like a dead person cannot make themselves alive, a spiritually dead person also cannot make themselves spiritually alive. We are separated from God, aren't we? And that's why the gospel is good news. It's interesting, Paul describes it as a record of debt. A record of debt. I think we're familiar with IOUs, aren't we? I don't know if you've ever written one or had one written, but we know what it is, don't we? I mean, if somebody was to give me £50, and I'm always open to that, but if someone was to give me £50 and I couldn't repay it, I would simply write, I owe you £50, probably sign it, maybe have a witness or some, you know, I owe you. And that's what they did in those days, in the days of, you know, the Apostle Paul. Obviously, it'd be written on a piece of parchment. See, you and I have violated every aspect of God's moral law. And so we are in debt. What is the requirement of our debt? What is the price we have to pay to have our debt cancelled and for us to be forgiven? Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so the debt I owe can only be paid by death. God has forgiven all our sins by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us. He has set it aside by nailing it to the cross. In other words, our sin has been obliterated, forgiven, forgotten, never to be brought up again. Past, present and future. I'm going to try and illustrate this as well. So here is all my IOUs, all my debts, all my sins, okay? And the Bible says it's been cancelled by it being nailed to the cross. So, let's see if I can do this. Oh, that's not worked. So that is all my say, all my IOUs. I thought one roll might be enough for me, actually. nailed to the cross. By the way, why do you think I put those where I put them? Yeah. See, nailing to the cross, it's not just nailed to a piece of wood. It was nailed to Jesus, wasn't it? Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I mean, that is a shocking statement. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us. Peter says it like this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So all our sin, all our debt is cancelled because it was nailed to the cross, because Jesus paid the price for us to be forgiven. He was separated from God so that we would never have to be. Of course, if we fail to accept that Jesus paid the price, then we pay the price, don't we? Eternity in hell. That is why this is so important. But the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are given a new heart, with new desires to love God, to serve him, and all of our sin is paid for, so that we will never have to pay for it. Okay, let's look at the third point. It comes in verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, I wonder what would have come to mind for those who are hearing this for the first time back in the first century. I think probably something like a carnival, a fanfare, all that goes with a carnival, Notting Hill carnival, something like that. No, a Roman general would go off to fight, be away for months, maybe even years. And the people back in Rome are not really aware of what's going on. It's happening, you know, hundreds of miles away. That is until the general returns, returning victorious, having conquered so many people. There would be a big special parade. And by the way, this would go on for days. And what would happen is that everyone would flock out, everybody would come to greet the general and the army and celebrate their victory. And at the front of this carnival would be chariot after chariot after chariot filled with all the spoils of war. And then you'd have the general himself, with all his attire. And then, of course, you'd have the army as well. And then behind them, what you would have is those who have been captured in battle. How do you think they're looking? Bedraggled, possibly naked, disarmed, disheveled, chained, ashamed, And everybody who's watching are saying, we are victorious. You are defeated. We are on the winning side. You've lost everything. When Paul refers to powers and authorities that have been made a public spectacle of, who do you think he's referring to? The devil and his demons, who, by the way, influenced people to have Jesus arrested, put on trial, crucified. And at that moment, the devil and all his cohorts must have been thinking, well, we're victorious. We've defeated him. And what is the devil's biggest weapon? Death. And it took death to defeat death. And so when Jesus is hanging on the cross and the demonic powers and authorities feel like, no, we've just dropped an atomic bomb on this guy on the cross. We've totally obliterated all that he came to do. Yet little realizing he had just dropped an atomic bomb on himself. It was through death that death is defeated. And that's why Paul can say he made a public spectacle of those powers and authorities who stood against him. He put them to shame. And of course, because he lives, Jesus, we also will live forever. Never will we ever be separated from him again. Let me finish with this illustration, I guess. Imagine, and you will need to use your imagination here. Imagine for a moment, Peterborough United were in a cup final yesterday at Wembley. You can't imagine it, can you? They were in a cup final yesterday against their greatest enemy. Who would that be? Cambridge? Cambridge. Ruben says Cambridge. And Peterborough win 3-2. During that match, one of the Peterborough players gets sent off. But however, they go on to win 3-2. But you, unfortunately, weren't able to get a ticket for the match. However, the good old BBC are showing the whole match again this afternoon, so we can watch it then. So when we're watching it and Cambridge score a goal, are we worried? No. No, not are we? When one of our players gets sent off, and it's clear the Cambridge player just dived, it's a complete injustice, are we shouting at the ref and giving him a hard time? We don't mind, do we? Because we know he's going to win. We know the outcome, don't we? See, in this life, a bit like the jigsaw puzzle that Ruth referred to, there are many ups and downs, there are many things we don't understand, many things that might seem unfair, unjust, Yes, we will suffer at times. But we know the final result, don't we? We know how it ends. We know how it plays out in the end. And from that we take hope. Paul is saying to this young church, you have been circumcised. God has given you a new heart. A heart that will want to please him and not yourself. A heart that will want to love God. A heart that will want to do what is right. And not only that, but he has forgiven all of your sin. It's all your debts. They've been nailed to the cross. To Jesus. He took that punishment for us. And yes, we may well have to suffer trials and tribulations, but Jesus has disarmed the devil and his demons and all who stand opposed to the works of God. And he did that on the cross, so that one day we will be with him always. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, together we really want to thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that on the cross we received a circumcision, a new heart. That all our debts were nailed to the cross, cancelled, forgiven, forgotten, every single one, big or small. And thank you, Lord, that you defeated all the powers of darkness and made a public spectacle of them, shaming them. And thank you, Lord, that we will one day be with you for all eternity because of the cross. Lord, thank you for this good news that's changed our lives. Help us, Father God, we pray, to bring this good news to those around us, that we might be messengers of hope, of reconciliation, bringing people to an understanding of your great love for them. So we bless you, we worship you, we thank you. And we trust, Lord, you'll go with us into this coming week, whatever it holds for us. Lord, would you watch over us and keep us and bless us as we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.